React Native with Harini Kannan.
The Azure DevOps Podcast is a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Each show brings you hard-hitting interviews with industry experts, innovating better methods, and sharing success stories. Listen on to learn how to increase quality, ship quickly, and operate well. And now your host, Jeffrey Palermo.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jeffrey Palermo, your host. Make sure to check out www.azuredevops.show for past episodes and the show notes. And the goal of this podcast is to empower and inspire your teams with the information that you need to move fast and deliver consistent quality using the .NET ecosystem, and to run your software systems with confidence in Azure. And for those of you running .NET and Azure user groups, I've been doing a lot of online video presentations. And if you run one of the groups, I'd love to give a presentation for you. Also, our sponsor, ClearMeasure, they make this podcast happen. They're a software architecture company that empowers .NET teams to be self-sufficient and able to deliver world-class results. And so if we can help, get in touch, please. And if you're a .NET developer and would like a path to become an architect, we are hiring. Just apply on the website, clearmeasure.com. And then a lot of you are also checking out the new Architect Tips video podcast. And if you have a question that you'd like answered as a Architect Tip show, then you can submit one at architecttips.clearmeasure.com. And now let's get on with the show. Well, I'm really excited for today's guest. I have with me Harini Kannan, and she is a program manager on the Windows Developer Experiences and Platform team. And we're going to be diving into what all her team does and the focuses of her on React Native, as well as lots of other topics when it comes to rich and stateful native applications. So Harini, welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, very good. Great to be here.
Fantastic. Fantastic. You have a pretty exciting and fast moving team there at Microsoft. But for people who might not keep up with your team day in and day out, would you give us a quick overview of the team and also maybe the high points of how you made your way into Microsoft and onto that team?
Oh, yeah, sure. So our team's charter includes the furthering of a lot of different technologies you might have heard of, your audience might have heard of, including things like MinUI, the XAML platform, WPF, Windows Terminal, React Native for Windows that we're going to talk about today. I don't know if you've heard of adaptive cards. Like, there are so many different things that our team does. The theme connecting everything being around enabling the Windows native stack and the UI native UI stack to be the best and most powerful and the most the modern technology that people can target to build really, really solid apps for Windows. That is our team's charter. It's pretty broad, so we do a lot of different things, and we try to jump on the latest thing and try to give people access to the most latest stuff with the best quality of code from our side. Over the last 2 years or so, our team has been building a very one-of-a-kind collaboration across several teams within Microsoft. Even that was not, we have never done that before, where, outside of one team does a whole bunch of stuff. So this has been a one-of-a-kind collaboration where we have worked with people from lots of engineers from Office, from Xbox, as well as partner very closely with Facebook to bring React Native, which was originally a technology that was started by Facebook for iOS and Android. But we have been working really, really closely with so many different people to bring it across Windows and Mac as well, to give it a solid desktop offering. And we call it the React Native at Microsoft team, but it's a V team across multiple organizations within and outside Microsoft as well. So that's what's been going on at a high level.
Okay. And just so people get familiar with you as well, what was your journey into Microsoft and into this team?
Sure. It's an interesting journey. I've been working at Microsoft for about 9 years or so now. And very interestingly, I came and interviewed for a team called Silverlight. I don't know if people might be familiar with it. It was a long time ago. And then I went back to college to finish my degree. And when I came back to Microsoft, Silverlight was gone. So that was my entry into Microsoft.
Yeah.
But ever since then, I've been working on mostly XAML platforms. So, you know, I joined the team and Windows 8 was, you know, beginning to really ramp up. So the XAML platform as part of Windows 8, the Silverlight platforms as part of Windows phones, and then, you know, bringing all of that together with UWPs and over the last several years with the UI. So we've been a part of the entire journey stepping through all that. So yeah, for people who are unfamiliar with even the UI, UI is the latest iteration of things that originated back in the day with WPF. So, you know, there's been WPF and then Silverlight and then Windows XAML. And then, you know, now we have a UI, which is the native UI stack. So that has been, you know, the journey of the technology and my journey with Microsoft is kind of aligned with the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it seems that over the last decade, the development technologies have, whether they've actually waned in development or whether it's just public perception, either way, it seems like they've fallen out of the forefront. And now, is that truly coming back? Like there's this whole sea of web developers who probably only laid out a screen with HTML and CSS, regardless of all the other technologies, as opposed to all, you know, the native options. Is that the vision to bring it back, or is HTML even being embedded into the native applications as well?
I think what we're realizing slowly is that, you know, there's several tools in the toolbox and people like to use different tools based on A, things that they're familiar with, you know, large applications who have already invested in certain amounts of code. It's, you know, they're going to want to invest in the same thing. And, you know, we are kind of, as a developer platform team, our own strategies and realizations around this has been that, you know, we really need to go wherever developers want to go. Mm-hmm. There are options there. You know, we don't want to, you know, force down a particular piece of technology if that, you know, because that doesn't make sense anymore. Like you said, there's just a whole suite of things that people are using, including HTML and, you know, web development has become very popular. It has a lot of efficiencies and advantages that offer people. And the native development is not going away anytime. You know, the best way to have the best looking, best performing app on a native device is going to be using the native stack. You know, on iOS, you need to use the native stack. Like the more you use that, you're going to have the better user experience on that device. So that that is always going to be the case. But we are also seeing that with web development and cross-platform kind of targeting happening across the board, we need to give people options, and wherever people are trying to get gravitate towards, we want to go there and help make that story really work for developers as well as, you know, bring them for Windows. So that's kind of the strategy that we are applying at this point.
All right, well, let's dig in first to React Native. Now you're an expert in this, and so we'll start with the elementary questions. So for the listeners not familiar, what the heck is React Native?
The React Native is a technology that provides you access to the native UI stack, I mean, native stack and the APIs of the native platform, be it iOS or Android or Windows or macOS, from JavaScript. So it was based on React. It took it takes its development models and programming models from React, which is a JavaScript framework, which is really, really popular. And Facebook created React Native to target iOS and Android natively. So for example, if you're using a button in React Native, you author the code in JavaScript. The framework translates it into the native UI button in each of the native platforms that it targets. So, you know, as a developer, you're now kind of unblocked from writing, you know, you can write JavaScript code, you can write web code, but you actually get the native translation out of that, which is really, really powerful.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And does it already also work on Windows, or are you making it work on Windows now?
Yes. So we began the journey to make it work on Windows 2 years ago, and about 6 to 7 months in, so like late 2019, we shipped the first, kind of stable version of React Native for Windows. And we now have several apps, like even within Microsoft, we have about 25 Microsoft apps running production code on React Native for Windows. And it's grown tremendously in the last 2 years. But yeah, it's ready for you today. You could use it today and target Windows as well as iOS and Android and all platforms that you want.
Okay. Are there any public examples of React Native apps running on Windows that people can get now?
Sure. Absolutely. One of the premier apps that we have kind of talked about quite a bit is some of the Xbox and the gaming apps on PCs, the Game Pass and PC gaming apps on Windows PCs all use React Native for Windows completely. In fact, those teams started with an Electron-based app and then, very quickly they pivoted and built React Native for Windows apps instead. Like the whole app is a React Native for Windows app, and they were able to pivot it very quickly because it's the same coding language. Like they took their React code and made it into React Native with very few devs in very few months. And the result of that was, they saw like tremendous user experience and performance wins from that. Their CPU usage spikes went from like 50% to 30%, like, things like that. There was just amazing startup perf and all kinds of things. They just saw that was amazing for them. And that app shipped sometime early last year, and it's been doing amazingly well. That became like a premier example even within Microsoft for tons of Xbox suite of apps to shift over to React Native for Windows, including the Xbox Store console app. You've played with it on console, like because React Native for Windows is layering on the native stack, you get access to all the Windows native devices. So you write once in JavaScript, you can deploy it on Xbox, which is pretty great.
Nice. Okay. Well, let's talk about how we kind of build and deploy and operate one of these. I'm assuming it doesn't really matter what you have on the server side or what it calls out to. Am I right about that?
Yeah, okay. It doesn't matter.
So what is the code base of one of these look like? And of course, most of the listeners are .NET developers, Visual Studio developers. So what's the most common IDE, and what does the code structure look like when put in source control?
Right. So because this kind of technology is straddling two worlds, where you're straddling the JavaScript kind of developer model as well as the native model, you are kind of empowered to work on either way. So if you want to focus most of your code in JavaScript itself, then the most common IDE to be used is VS Code. It has a lot of React Native extensions, and they have really improved the debugging and all kinds of stack in there to support the React Native development environments as well. So you start in VS Code, you have access to all your JavaScript. The most common kind of deployment model is just simple CLIs. So, you do React Native init and then React Native run Windows, for example, if you're on Windows and the app just boots up. There is a web debugger associated with it. So you can debug your web code and kind of look at the UI and all that stuff. Because it's kind of because it is JavaScript based and you have these really great inner loop efficiencies built in, you have hot reload. So for example, when your app is running, you have VS Code open, you make an edit into your JavaScript, you see it like in a second on the app. It refreshes right away and you can see it, including states. It can keep state and kind of refresh that. And there's just lots of good things that come from that. On the other side, if you are kind of using React Native to target Windows and you want to make, you want to kind of debug or you even want to kind of add a lot of native functionality to your app, which you can then access from the JavaScript, then yeah, you will be using Visual Studio, which is the standard development environment for native Windows apps. So behind the scenes, I mean, I don't think I mentioned this earlier, but behind the scenes, the React Native for Windows app is a Windows app, and it uses WinUI, and it uses, it's exactly what you would expect from a Windows app. So you boot up a solution file on Visual Studio, and it looks exactly like your native Windows app that you have used to developing for UWPs, and you can make edits as you see fit there too. So it's both development models are supported in there.
Okay, and the buttons, text boxes, those end up being native controls, right? But what about just general layout? Is that HTML and CSS?
So the layout engine for React Native uses Yoga. Okay. So it's a play of both. Like, for example, the yoga engine translates the positioning and the native, and then it works with the native engine. So the XAML layout engine then plays with the yoga layout to actually lay out the UI as you would see it in a native app. So for example, if you are in your development environment, yeah, you're using CSS and, you know, you're using general kind of view codes and, you know, styling sheets and all that stuff to give your style sheets as well as, you know, positioning and all that. It gets translated using the yoga layout engine, according to cross-platform kind of, you know, how the yoga engine operates for layouts. And then that gets translated into the native engine through like grids and stack panels and whatever. And then that gets laid out in the, finally the user experience is matching that kind of experience.
Okay. Okay. Now for automated testing, I would assume that the JavaScript testing libraries would work just because most of the code is JavaScript, but for the things that are intertwined with those controls where you have to have the application running, what is the testing scenario? What are the tools that work and how does that play out in this application type?
That's a great question. So like you said, I mean, the answers for almost a lot of these questions are always going to be like, you know, there's one answer that is pure JavaScript, and then there is one answer that spans JavaScript and the native. So a lot of the JavaScript testing frameworks work against React Native because it is a JavaScript framework, like, you know, Jest and all that. They are kind of purpose-built for JavaScript and React Native, and they work. As far as end-to-end UI testing and those kind of things are concerned, I don't know if you've heard about WinAppDriver. Appium. So Appium is a cross-platform UI end-to-end test solution that was that's there for iOS and Android. And WinAppDriver is the implementation of that for Windows. So for example, our own test suites for React Native for Windows use WinAppDriver everywhere. And okay. That is a great end-to-end UI testing solution. Yep. And it's another plug for another thing my team does because WinAppDriver, awesome. we own that too.
Now, the just an aside for testing, full system testing has been one of those things that, in my opinion, still isn't finished. Like, if you think unit testing frameworks, okay, you could make another one, but there's pretty good unit testing frameworks out there. Whereas the full system testing, where it has to go through and mimic what a human would do in a fully deployed, fully running app, that space seems like it's still moving because we just, as an industry, haven't cracked that nut. What's your commentary on that and where's it going?
That's absolutely true. And, you know, it's a little bit of a struggle in terms of, you know, how much can you even do in terms of full UI testing, right? Especially when we are trying to straddle cross platforms and that cross platform solution is trying to be native on each thing, it is almost impossible to build one solution for testing the end to end of your cross platform app across every device. Like, for example, let's say that you're using a text box, you know, like a text input field on your JavaScript app, and it's a cross-platform thing. Well, on an Android device, there are certain specific things that work with the text, you know, input field. Like if you put your cursor in and then you kind of tap it a certain way, you know, selection happens. If you tap it a certain different way, a copying happens. It's a completely different experience on an iOS device or a Windows device. You know, Control-C, Control-V works on Windows, whereas, you know, those things are not available for you on a phone. Whereas you're using the same code and trying to have multiple user experiences. We see this kind of problem a lot, especially in this kind of cross-platform native world where building that kind of an end-to-end automated UI testing suite is there's great opportunity there. I'll put it that way. You know, there it's definitely still an open field, like you said. I don't think we have landed the exact, you know, a fantastic experience there about how we can actually achieve that yet.
Many thanks to our podcast sponsor, Clear Measure. Clear Measure is a software architecture company that empowers clients' development teams to be self-sufficient, moving fast, delivering quality, and running their systems with confidence. Whether starting a new project or developing new technologies or techniques, Clear Measure sets up your team to deliver world-class results. Learn more at www.clearmeasure.com. Clear Measure, empowering software delivery.
Now, when packaging up a React Native application, is there anything special that one thinks about across Android, iOS, and Windows when just preparing that build for deployment into the app stores? What does that package look like?
So at the end of the day, each React Native app for that platform is a native app. It translates into a native app. So on Windows, it's a native UWP. So when you package it up, it becomes an Apex or an MSIX as you would see fit. Or if you're embedding React Native for Windows content into your Win32 app, then it becomes a Win32 app. So, you know, that whole pipeline works exactly as you would expect from a native Windows app. Similarly, on iOS and Android, like it becomes an Android app and an iOS app, and then you can publish it to the store like you would publish a native app to the store. It's just that you're using JavaScript to create it.
Talk about that a little. You said embedding into a native Windows app.
Yes.
What is that?
Right. So I don't know if in the previous podcast, I know that you had interviewed Ryan Demopoulos a little bit mm-hmm. earlier, and he might have talked to you about like WinUI and all the ways that WinUI plugs into Win32 app models. And, you know, maybe there's a technology called XAML Islands, which we created in WinUI that lets you punch a hole into your Win32 app and put in some new modern content from WinUI. So, well, React Native for Windows layers directly on top of WinUI. So everything that WinUI is capable of, React Native for Windows is capable of, and it can go anywhere that WinUI goes. So from React Native for Windows, basically you access the same APIs, the XAML Islands APIs. You can access it from JavaScript, punch a hole in your Win32, put JavaScript content there, and it will be native WinUI content inside the Win32 app. It's a little bit mind-bending, nice. But the entire thing, the whole stack works that way.
Well, there's this whole slew of native Windows apps going back several decades. Uh-huh. So you're saying the ones that support XAML Data Islands then have the ability to have a React Native screen or set of screens just put right in there.
Absolutely. In fact, it's one of the premier scenarios that teams inside Microsoft are exploring. Like for example, Office, the Win32 apps in Office, like Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Outlook, you know, they are big, whole, you know, they are complex existing Win32 apps, and they use a lot of stuff. But, you know, they're starting to slowly use React Native pieces, like small, tiny pieces in their app to kind of modernize some experiences. Like, for example, on Word, when you are kind of commenting, the commenting experience on Word, on mm-hmm. iOS and Android, the comments, those UI pieces are all written in React Native.
Okay.
And they're using React Native for Windows and WinUI and the islands and the whole concept. And they're now kind of beginning to prototype some of that on Windows with the same code. So, you know, you can basically, because React Native is a little bit of a plug and play like this, like you don't have to use it for the entire app if you don't want it. Like you can just use like small pieces of it wherever you need JavaScript efficiencies, maybe, while still getting the native experience out of it and just put it in there. And, you know, that we see all over the place.
Okay, well, let me take an aside to talk about language now, because there's lots of C# developers out there and lots of JavaScript developers. Is it, when you're talking about React Native, is most of the time it actually JavaScript, or how much is TypeScript translated to JavaScript?
It's actually both. JavaScript and TypeScript both are supported equally. And the developer models, even the CLIs, the tooling, it supports both languages. We do see a lot more TypeScript these days than JavaScript, especially in some of the inbox apps from Microsoft. We do see mm-hmm. a lot more usage of TypeScript than JavaScript because it's just more strongly typed and it's a little more, it also came from Microsoft. So there's that.
Yeah, for listeners who are listening, they say, okay, great. I've got options. Thanks. But yes. I don't have the wherewithal to know which one I should be picking. So just tell me which one I should. The dozen or so apps that you mentioned, Xbox on the PC, Game Pass, those other ones, mm-hmm. Are most of those TypeScript or are most of those not TypeScript?
Actually, most of those are TypeScript. They do a little bit of mix and match. They do a little bit of JavaScript and they do a little bit of TypeScript.
Okay. And that seems to be the commentary I'm getting from people who go in deep into this, that without putting your words in your mouth, they say, well, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to use TypeScript. Is that generally the guidance?
I don't know that we have a specific recommendation there, to be honest. We are, you know, I think that field is also kind of maturing as we speak. We are trying to make sure that people who are kind of very finicky and specific about, you know, strongly typed worlds and having good ABI safeties and things like that, they have access to the right models. And that's why, you know, a lot of the tooling, we try to do a lot more with TypeScript. And it's still not the default. The default is JavaScript, for example. Mm-hmm. We kind of give you an option to do TypeScript because that's still kind of developing on the side. But so I don't know that we have a strong recommendation, but we would love to hear back. Like, you know, the more data we can get about what people prefer and why, then we can invest in the right tooling for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So we've gotten through testing, packaging, deploying. Now you've got these apps running. They're installed from what, the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store, and then the Microsoft Store. Or is there mm-hmm. also a different another way to get them on Windows computers?
So on Windows computers these days, UWPs can be deployed with MSIX packages. Mm-hmm. So you can sideload your apps, and you know, like, basically any path that is available for a native Windows app is available for a React Native for Windows app through the store, through MSIX packaging. And if you are Win32, then whatever path you're using for Win32, that's also available for you.
Okay. So once they're running out there, what is the telemetry or observability story look like? I'm assuming Azure Application Insights would be an option, but what are the mm-hmm. common... What are the common ways and what might have special support in React Native from just knowing what your users are doing?
Yeah. So there are a whole bunch of suites out there. Like, you know, I don't know if there's like Visual Studio App Center and App Center Analytics and all the kind of stuff that you can orchestrate. React Native plugs into that. We have added support for React Native for Windows into all those kind of services. So you can kind of use it, which brings me to an interesting point. So service delivery is becoming a big thing these days, you know, where people are trying to, fix bugs on the fly a little bit. You know, you don't want to wait for your app to be updated by the end user if there are some things that you want to quickly address, or, you know, you want to change a tiny piece of UI, or maybe you want to add a little, you know, a link to an ad that is timely for that day that you don't want to kind of waste an opportunity on. Mm-hmm. So JavaScript allows you to do that quite a bit. So on native apps through React Native, you can actually do that. And there is a service that Microsoft offers called CodePush that lets you do that. That is a part of the Visual Studio App Center suite of services. So React Native for Windows plugs into that world as well. So you can use CodePush to push service-delivered dynamic updates to your app's UI without waiting for your app to be updated by the end user through that mechanism as well. So there's all those kinds of things that you can do once your app has already been deployed.
Okay. Feature flags are getting a lot of talk now. How should people be thinking about that with React Native applications?
You mean in terms of experimentation or?
Well, it is new, but I think Azure came out with a feature flags capability for just keeping those settings, and there's Launch Darkly. And is that something that people are doing a lot in React Native applications or not so much yet?
Yeah, I think there is. There's quite a bit of it for sure in terms of, you know, when you want to kind of have personalized options and, you know, turn things on or off based on what your, you know, what your end users are doing. There is definitely a lot of that happening. There's like enabling or disabling certain functionalities and things like that. And yes, React Native does give you an option to do that because through JavaScript, you have this mechanism to push updates and switch things a little bit on the fly. So there is definitely you want to be careful with that. You don't want to do too much at the end of the day, you want the user experiences to be consistent to what they're expecting. I think there's that, but we do see quite a bit of interest in that space and usage in that space, which is kind of what some of these services are facilitating a little bit.
Okay. Awesome. Well, what haven't we covered with React Native that is upcoming? What's next? Maybe that's not released quite yet, but people should keep an eye out for?
Sure. So a couple of things that are coming up. So for on React Native for Windows VR, we just released version 64, which is the most recent one. And we are doing a 64 preview right now. We are waiting on the final release of React Native Core to be released once we can then move to our own stable version of 64, which is bringing with it like a tons of performance improvements and lots of developer goodies. There's just tons of things going on in that space. It is a very, very fast moving space. There's almost a new release with tons of new features every 3 months, as I see it in this world, and we are trying to keep up with it and offer new things and things like that. Microsoft has also started doing a little bit more as a desktop play rather than just a Windows play. So we are also bringing React Native to macOS because ultimately it's a cross-platform solution. And if we don't give developers a way to target cross platforms, including cross platform desktop, it's not mm-hmm. that viable for people. So we realize that, and we are kind of trying to do a little bit there as well. The plug is for the, you know, if you're interested, go visit aka.msreactnative. That's a good landing space for us. And, you know, we are collecting a lot of data. This is still pretty new. Like I said, we have been only working on this for like 2 years now. There's so much more we could be doing, including, you know, what kind of developer environment things we could be doing. One of the things that we are looking into and wanting a lot of feedback on is, you know, bridging the JavaScript and native kind of debugging story and deployment story and, you know, development environment story so that we can bring, you know, right now it is a little bit bifurcated. If you're doing JavaScript, you have to do it in VS Code, and any native, you have to do it in the native environment. So, mm-hmm. you know, how do we kind of bridge those two? There's just tons of opportunity here that we want to explore and provide some value. Microsoft has unique position here to provide value, and just getting a lot of feedback, what people are using, how they're kind of targeting things would be really valuable for us.
Okay, awesome. We'll make sure to include all those in the show notes. How does this intersect with Xamarin?
Oh, that's a great question. We think it is a parallel work stream. Like it's exactly, you know, for example, if you knew about Xamarin Forms, which is basically one of the technology offerings from Xamarin where you can, try to write like one piece of XAML and then it translates into native code in each of those platforms. It's kind of exactly what React Native does, except that it's in JavaScript instead of XAML. Mm-hmm. So the way we think about this whole space is, you know, it's one more tool in the toolbox. People who are familiar with C# and they have already existing code in XAML and .NET based, Xamarin is a great bet. Like you can continue doing that. For those who are coming from the web world and the cross-platform world and want to target Windows, well, React Native is a good offering for you there. You can use this tool, and neither is all or nothing. You can use a little bit of Xamarin Forms, you can use a little bit of React Native, wherever you feel, you know, you need that kind of a model, or wherever you see the, your own development efficiencies and, you know, hiring and even, you know, things like that. Like if you are hiring a bunch of JavaScript people, you can continue to do that and, you know, still target native apps through React Native. So that's kind of how we see this play. They are parallel and have their own audiences each.
Okay. Well, trying to get into the heads of the people inside Microsoft who've done one or the other, like you mentioned, Xbox and Game Pass. Do you have any inside information on what factors caused them to say, you know what, React Native would be more appropriate than this rather than Xamarin and some other options?
I think the two main considerations we have seen for people choosing React Native over other technologies is, A, like I mentioned, there's just a lot more in terms of development efficiencies that JavaScript offers and web development offers that .NET is still catching up on. It's a different kind of world, and there is just, it's very fast moving, and there is a lot of interest, a lot of young people who are getting hired in the teams are mostly web focused. So there's just a lot of kind of context that is coming in from that as well. And we see that once that starts kind of, you know, once the team grows big enough with a lot more people in JavaScript, world, as well as they've seen those development efficiencies and want to continue to use them, they definitely gravitate towards React Native more than, native and .NET platforms. But, and the other way is true too, like, People like Office or other big apps, even within Microsoft, who have large investments already in .NET and Win32 and those kind of app models and XAML-based technologies. Yeah, they will continue to use those, any offering that kind of helps them address that space. And we see that happening across the board too. So I think the primary rationale mostly is around what they are familiar with, where their investments currently are, where people with context are coming from, and how they can just move ahead from that particular piece that they already have.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. And the second piece is definitely around service delivery. I think at this point, JavaScript is the only way that allows you to accomplish that kind of a service delivery mechanism of providing some updates to your app very quickly and out of band and that kind of stuff. So any scenario, it's not common to have entire apps needing that. It is common to have like one or two pieces where you want to do that. And we do see any time that that comes up, they do use React Native because that's kind of the only offering we have today that gives you native experiences with service delivery.
Gotcha. Okay. Awesome. Wow. This is a lot of information packed into the show. So I appreciate you sharing this with us. You mentioned aka.ms/React Native for people wanting to dig in. Is that the go-to resource, or are there any others that you would throw in there as well?
Yeah, I think that's the best place to start with. That takes you to our website, which has pointers to all our repos. So the other thing about React Native is it's all entirely open source. React Native itself is open source. React Native for Windows is open source. You know, macOS is open source. Everything is on GitHub. We do our entire development strategy is out there. You know, you can look at our issues. You can look at our project backlogs and thumbs up and vote down and comment and do all kinds of things. And we work there. We are not doing anything inside Microsoft that you're not privy to. So that's, all of those resources are available from the website. You can just, take a look at that, come participate, as well as, there's a bunch of getting started guides and documentation that would help you kind of bootstrap your app if you want to try to play with it. That is a good place to start. Our team has a presence on Twitter. So if you want to reach us on Twitter, you could go to React Native Microsoft, MSFT. Okay. And that's our Twitter handle. So reach out to us. We'll respond right away if there is anything.
Awesome. Well, sounds good. Well, thank you so much, Odini, for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Jeff.
And until next time, keep shipping.
You've been listening to the Azure DevOps Podcast, a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Go to www.azuredevops.show for show notes and other episodes. On behalf of your host, Jeffrey Palermo, and our sponsors, thanks for listening, and may God bless you.